The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box. And welcome, welcome, everybody. Whether you have been here hundreds of times, like literally some of you have come hundreds of times, or whether this is your first time, welcome, a warm welcome. It's, I don't know, it's touching, right? That people from all over and with come together and people from, you know, newbies and I don't want to say oldies, but non-newbies are here. So I'd like to share a poem that another Dharma teacher, Jill Shepherd, who is from New Zealand, and she teaches a lot in New Zealand, but I was just teaching with her in Massachusetts. So I learned this, I heard this poem from her, and it's from an Australian poet, but he's also a cartoonist who kind of like draws cartoons that go with his poems, and they're very endearing, and his name is Michael Lunig. And this poem goes like this. There are only two feelings, love and fear. There are only two languages, love and fear. There are only two activities, love and fear. There are only two motives, two procedures, two frameworks, two results. Love and fear, love and fear. So this poet and cartoonist, Michael Lunig, right, we might say he's a lumper, right? Everything gets lumped into one category or the other. And we could say, you know, whether this is wise and appropriate and if we should do this all the time. But putting that aside, I think that he's, the poet here is trying to point to something. Love and fear, like these are either with us where something supports us or we feel threatened by it. But something I think is really important here or something to consider is that most binary opposites, good and bad or right and wrong, success and failure, with those types of pairings, we tend to want to like grab and hold on to one and shove the other one away. We want things that are good and we want everything that's bad to go away. We want to hold on to success and turn away from or avoid failure. We want what's right, want everybody to do what's right and like push away wrong. But there's this interesting thing about this pairing of love and fear that if we want to have like this orientation towards or this movement towards or this opening towards love, it doesn't require that we like turn away from or that we shove away fear. Instead, like love is a way to be with fear. In fact, we might say that, you know, love and fear are the opposites in the sense that we cannot feel them at the same time in the way that's being pointed to here, that when we're in a place of love, we are not in a place of fear. So kind of like love is being defined in this way as this openness of our hearts without a way that makes us feel vulnerable and or without a way then which we feel like boundaries get crossed that shouldn't get crossed. But this place of love that's open and warm and spacious is not a place of fear. And we see this in some of the Buddhist teachings where the Buddha talks about loving kindness practice, the practice that we do here on Happy Hour, as a kind of protection. The word is paritta. And Buddhist monastics throughout for probably millennia, and certainly they still do it today in Buddhist countries, a very common practice to chant the Metta Sutta, to chant about loving kindness as a way of protection. Maybe we might think about this as a way to help us out of fear. Help us to be with what is causing fear. So we might look at this another way, is that if we don't want to live in fear, and sometimes we do, and to be sure, it's appropriate, right? There are things to be afraid of. And we need to maintain our safety and these types of things. So I don't want to make it sound like we shouldn't have boundaries and protect ourselves and wish safety for ourselves and for others. But if we don't want to live in constant fear, even when fear about things that, you know, part of us recognizes, okay, this is not helpful. This maybe isn't logical or doesn't make sense. If we don't want to live in that kind of fear, a fear that really shrinks our life, a fear that makes us anxious all the time, then we can orient towards or cultivate loving kindness. We can orient towards an openness, a spaciousness. Does not mean that we have to love those things that we fear. That's a tall order. Certainly we can get there. That can happen. It does happen. I can speak for myself. But we can orient towards this openness, spaciousness, warmth, love, care, goodwill, where it's easy. We start where it's easy. Start where it's easy. I'll tell this short little story that many of you know that some of the Buddhist precepts are right, is not to kill, not to harm living beings. And I had some ants coming into the kitchen, right? Nobody wants ants in their kitchen. So what does one do here? So I had heard from a number of my friends, cinnamon, that ants will not cross cinnamon. I didn't know this. So I put lots of cinnamon in my kitchen, figured out where the ants were coming in and, you know, put cinnamon there. And I brushed the other ones into a little dustpan, put them outside, the ones that were there. And then made sure I kept my kitchen cleaner than I had been keeping it before. But as I was doing this, as I was taking care of the ants, I noticed my attitude towards spiders, whom I used to be really afraid of, the kind of fear of like I didn't want to go into the bathroom because there was a spider in there, that kind of a fear, that my attitude towards spiders started to shift as I started to take care of these little ants. I'm not saying what you have to do or not do. You get to make those choices for yourself regarding ants and spiders. I'd like to encourage care for them. But the point is that opening up our hearts towards in one direction, it spills out into other directions. So love and fear. Love is can be an antidote to fear, but don't it can be a trap to think that we have to love that which we fear. It's such a tall order. And there's a way in which fear also activates the inner critic. I shouldn't be afraid of this, or why, you know, other people aren't afraid of this, or I should be over this by now, or there's a way in which this kind of inner critic can get activated. So loving kindness is a way to maybe like soften the fear and soften the inner critic that sometimes gets activated within their sphere. So with that as an introduction, let's do some loving kindness practice and some working with the inner critic. So taking a meditation posture, a posture that expresses your intention of meditating and has some comfort and ease, maybe some uprightness at the same time. Tuning into the bodily experience. Hmm. How does this body feel right now? Maybe globally, is it alert or tired, tense, relaxed? Maybe more specifically, feeling the pressure of whatever you're sitting on against the body. Feeling whatever the hands are touching. And feeling the movement of the body as it breathes. Tuning into, being sensitive to the experience of breathing, feeling the movement, the stretching, the ending of the stretching that happens with breathing. And then to do some loving kindness practice. Before we start that, just a reminder that you can always come back to mindfulness of the sensations of breathing for any reason. It's always an alternative. And then to begin the loving kindness practice, we'll start where it's easy, the absolute easiest. There might be a part of us that protests and say, oh, that's kindergarten loving kindness. I want graduate school loving kindness. Please do not underestimate how powerful it is to rest in loving kindness with no hesitation, giving yourself over to the loving kindness. And this is most often done where it's the easiest. The easiest might be a family member, might be a pet, might be imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, might be somebody who has really supported you in your life. Maybe they are in your life now, maybe they're not. Bringing to mind this lovable being and connecting with them. And to support the connection and to give the mind something a little more tangible to do, you can repeat these phrases while having the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. I think it's always important to do loving kindness for ourselves. to stay in balance. So bringing either an image of yourself to mind or the felt sense of this moment. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to do some practice, this inner critic, this voice that shows up sometimes, making us feel somehow inadequate or insufficient. Loving kindness practice can be a support and be compassion practice. We can work with the inner critic using different phrases. So to do that, bring to mind some minor difficulty or a minor fear. On a scale of 1 to 10, something that's like a 2 or 3. These are often the conditions in which the inner critic or fear arises. And we can say these phrases, or one of these phrases. You don't have to do all four. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Sometimes it's helpful to speak directly to the inner critic. We might say something like this. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful, inner critic. Or we might drop in a dose of reality. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Dear inner critic, I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea of love and fear, and you know that this poet was kind of simplifying everything between love and fear, and you know, we might say that that's an oversimplification, but maybe there are times when it's helpful to simplify things that way and to consider, okay, is there a way in which we can bring in some love here to counteract or diminish the impact of fear. So much fear is driving things that we do that aren't helpful, aren't supportive, either for ourselves or for others. And certainly, you know, the inner critic, right, gets activated with fear, with some difficulties. And so it can be a way in which we can work with that. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout groups where you can talk about this yourself, this idea of the relationship between love and fear. And is it helpful to consider those things at least some of the times? Like, it's all easy for us to say, like, no, this will never work there or here. But what kind of situations is it helpful to simplify things between love and fear? And then to bring what we know about love or how we can access it and bring that to the situation. When is that helpful? When would that be supportive? When would that be wise? So, in these breakout rooms, it's helpful to just say one thing at a time and then let it go to the next person. Then they say one thing and then let it go to the next person and then they say one thing. And that way, there's a number of different people have an opportunity to talk. And everybody doesn't feel pressured to say everything they know or to share their deepest, darkest secrets or something like this. But just, you know, like, I like this expression, adding one ingredient to the soup that's getting made collectively. So rather than saying everything you know about this idea of love and fear, but just maybe saying one point and let it go to the next. You'll be in groups of three or four. And why don't we go in the order of the number of characters in your screen name. So if you have a shorter screen name, you'll go first or earlier in the list. And we'll meet for 14 minutes. And here we go.